Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and joining me now is Colton Denning, owner of Two Stripe CPD. Just wrote a column about what we're going to see coming up tomorrow and Friday with the Final Four in the college football playoff. Also, make sure you go subscribe to his YouTube channel, youtube.com/Colton Denning. Colt, how is it going, brother? Long time no talk.
Yes, sir, man. Post-holidays, it feels like we're finally, I think, out of that that holiday time warp. That just sucks the 2 weeks between the holidays in, but I'm back, and now we're in the Final Four of college football, and what a crazy Final Four it is, eh?
It's insane. It's a far cry from last year, where it was just all blue bloods, right? Last year, Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, Texas, right? Like, you know, none of the top four seeds, but at the same time, those are the type of teams that we expect to be there. This year, Indiana, Oregon, who I think is probably, if we talked about it preseason, most likely team to be in this situation, even though I didn't hear a lot of people crying out their name. But then Ole Miss and Miami, the last team in Miami. And you wrote a column for Two Stripes about if last year's college football playoff Final Four was a sign that Blue Bloods would reign supreme in the new era of college football, this is a heck of a counterpunch. What are you seeing? What do you think of this Final Four? How excited are you for the games on Thursday and Friday?
Outside of my own personal rooting interest with Ohio State getting knocked off by Miami, I think it's however you want to spin it, but in my opinion, I think it's great for the sport because it's showing fans and people associated with these teams or with these teams across the country that may not be the Ohio States or Notre Dames of the world that this is possible and things are as wide open as they've ever been. And I think that there's also a little bit of a footnote to that where they're not Cinderella stories. Like Indiana,
sure,
in the grand scheme of things, absolutely, from where they were before Kurt Cignetti took over to where they are now. But you really kind of dive into what he's done and how much they've supported through NIL or with the transfer portal. And then, of course, what Ole Miss was doing with Lane Kiffin, the money that Miami was throwing around, and, of course, Oregon is Oregon. We know what they've been able to do for the last 25, 30 years. So it's not like it's George Mason in the Final Four going up against the UConns of the world, but I think it's just showing everybody that, hey, in this system, for all of the things right and all the things wrong about it, it leaves open the possibility where in years past it really was mostly for just those Ohio States and powerhouse SEC teams.
Yeah. Now, you, like all of us, called it in your column unexpected, but you followed that up by saying it's not an accident. What do you mean by that exactly?
I think it's not an accident because of what I just mentioned of all the investments that those teams have made. When you really look at it, whether it's through the portal, whether it's through NIL or both of those things combined. And two, I think, and this is what I said in my column, is that all four programs right now embody how important solid coaching still is. We've seen what Kurt Cignetti has done in the short amount of time with Indiana. Lane Kiffin built Ole Miss up for well, however long he was there, 4 or 5 years, and now you look where they are, and Pete Golding and the rest of that staff are able to build off that and beat an SEC opponent like Georgia to get to the Final Four. Dan Lanning has Oregon running as high as they ever had, and he's been able to take the recruiting to an even higher level, even if you want to discount some of the NIL stuff. I think he's done a fantastic job there. And then, you know, I've gotten on this show plenty of times, Gabe, and talked about Mario Cristobal and how much grief that I give him. But for all of his faults, he's returned Miami to contender status in that point where we can finally say, like, you know what, the U is back. And you can say that, oh, these teams, and if you want to throw Texas Tech in there because they were in the last round as well, they're throwing the money cannon out at their roster. Well, you got to hit on your evaluations. Yep. And I think that's what all four of these programs have done extremely well, especially at a place where we've talked about a bunch, quarterback, where all of them are transfers.
Yeah. Now, I saw this on Hot Take Television today. Okay, this question I'm about to ask. So forgive me if you hate the question.
Boy.
But I honestly found it pretty interesting. And the question really was, which team winning a national title of these last four would be the best story? Right? Like, which one would you revel in? Which one do you think has the most lasting effects? So I'm going to pose you that. Which do you think would be the best story?
It's the obvious answer. It has to be Indiana.
Yeah.
Just based off of the fact of where they were. And, you know, it'd be one thing, like, if it were Kansas State back in the day. And Bill Snyder, that really took some time for him to build that up and get to a point where Kansas State, people forget, they were extremely close to winning a national title a couple of times. And they were where Indiana was 5 years ago. They were on the bottom rung of college football. Indiana has done this in 2 years, where they made the playoff last year, they give Notre Dame a decent game, and it's like, oh, what a great story. Maybe Kurt Cignetti can win 8 games again. And now they're even better. They're going undefeated. They're beating Ohio State in the Big Ten title game, and they smash Alabama in a way that we haven't seen Alabama be smashed in 30 years. That is an all-time, I don't want to say once-in-a-lifetime story, because now they're showing that it can be done, but they're the ones who are really setting the tone for that. So I think all of these teams, winning would be a great story, however you want to spin it, but Indiana for just the sheer randomness
yes.
of it, because it really does feel like a video game.
Yes, it feels like I am on a, you know, controlled dynasty, offline dynasty
yeah.
on College Football 26. That's honestly what it feels like. Now, the other part of it that would make it more interesting for Indiana is, do you know the stat about a team that has gone 16-0? In the highest level of college football? Do you know, like, the last time that happened? The
Ooh,
highest
the,
level.
The highest
FBS.
Level.
Obviously, I don't know if it was FBS back then, but it was still the highest level of football. So, obviously, North Dakota State in the FCS did it in 2019.
Okay.
But previous to that, at the highest level of football, 16-0 has not been achieved since 1894, the Yale Bulldogs.
Ooh.
How about that?
That... I think that adds into it, because it's not like Indiana, you know, gets into the playoffs as a 10 seed and has two losses, and we know that they're pretty good, but then they go on a playoff run, kind of like Ohio State did last year. No, this is sort of your LSU run we saw in 2019, but they're just smashing teams in this extended playoff, and now you're, like, to your point, you can only match it on a numbers perspective with stuff from – 2 centuries ago. It's just completely unfathomable.
Right. And here's the thing. Like, I've been talking to a lot of people about this. If Kurt Cignetti's able to go win a championship, like, what do we do with his, you know, all-time status? Right? Because obviously one championship does not equal out to Nick Saban's 6, you know. You're not going to catch up to Bear Bryant, become the best coach of all time immediately, although some people may believe that. But what I do believe, without question, about Kurt Cignetti over these 2 years, this is the best coaching job transformation I have ever seen in my life.
I agree with that, because your devil's advocate against that would be, well, other teams couldn't build up as fast throughout the old system. There wasn't the transfer portal. There wasn't all this money
right.
being thrown around, which is a totally fair point. It's just a completely different game. That is what it is. But yet again, the fact that you can evaluate, and, you know, he was bringing James Madison guys up, and what did we hear all year, Gabe? Oh, these guys from James Madison or these guys from Conference USA, whatever smaller conference you want to bring up, they don't belong on the same field in the playoffs as these Power 5 kids. Well, Indiana's shown the past couple of years what happens when you have a bunch of kids who are pretty nasty at these G5 schools. So it's not just the fact that he's turned it around and, you know, they've completely shifted the roster and they've thrown money at everything. No, they're hitting on all of these different players. And a great part or an underrated part of coaching is not just the scheme stuff that everybody loves now. All the NFL guys want to be Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan, and that's great. But when you're just able to evaluate players and put them in a system that works up, and you could bring them from a James Madison to a Big Ten school, and they still have success and they still win, that's great coaching.
I hear that devil's advocate point you made, and I think it's – I know you push back against it, but I still want to sort of revert back to it because I think that would be the main point that people make to the contrary. Of saying this is the best coaching job of all time. And, you know, you could sit there and say it's a different era and you can turn over the roster, but you have to be able to hit on all of those players. You have to develop them. And here's the other part of it. To be able to get a guy like Fernando Mendoza out of the portal, you have to unlock money. You have to unlock belief within an organization and a program that's never had it. And I saw a story today, and I'm sure you've seen the same one. Kurt Cignetti's unlocked Mark Cuban money at Indiana. Mark Cuban is helping finance that program now. Like, that in itself is a feat. I didn't even know that Mark Cuban was associated with Indiana. Didn't know he went there until today, until Kurt Cignetti found a way to get Indiana to number one in the country and roll through this season, beat Alabama 38-3. I mean, that in itself should be applauded, maybe even heavier than the results on the field.
And if it's so easy, why isn't everybody else doing
Correct.
It? Because there are teams that are throwing around a bunch of money, and we've seen other teams have success. Look at what Texas Tech has done, and as much grief as people want to give them about the money they spent, Joey McGuire also and that staff also hit on their evaluations. But we've also seen teams like Colorado this year who missed on a lot of their portal players. That's an extreme degree. Ohio State, when you really look at some of the guys they brought in this year, they missed on a lot of their guys, and that's the defending national champion. So it's not like you can just say, hey, here's a bunch of money, come over, we're going to be great. No, that's not how it works. And then, yeah, if you're able to win enough where a billionaire like Mark Cuban is like, I want him, he's not getting a return on his investment other than the fact that it's making him happy. In a capitalist society, Gabe, that's when you know you're winning.
Absolutely. Okay, now back to the original question of who would be the best story if they're able to go win. I think there is Indiana, I agree with you, in first, probably a space after that. But I think there is a second. I think Ole Miss would be a heck of a story with Lane Kiffin out the door, all the drama that's gone back and forth, Pete Golding being able to stabilize that program. I don't know if you've gotten to see sort of the re-signings they've had, but if Trinidad Jambliss is able to get another year, he's going to be back at Ole Miss. Kiwan Lacy, who may be the best returning running back in the country, is going to return to Ole Miss next year. They brought some offensive linemen back, some defensive linemen back. So looking at how they seem to have used Lane Kiffin's departure and subsequent chaos and disorder, they've used that as a rallying cry and focused using it. Like, that to me is a heck of a story for Ole Miss. And on top of that, they haven't won a national championship since, what, the 60s or the 50s?
Yeah, the Ole Miss part of it, too, it does have that kind of double barrel action to it where if Ole Miss wins, you're not going to look at it, and your average college football fan or just average sports fan in general, if they tune into the national championship and it's Ole Miss and Indiana or Ole Miss, Oregon, they're not going to be like, oh, another SEC team. They're going to be like, wait a second, Ole Miss? Like, they're in the national championship? So you're going to have that part of the story, like you said. And you also have this idea that Lane Kiffin has one of the most messy recent breakups we've seen in college football, where ultimately his thing is like, well, I want to go win a national championship, and I think I can go win a national championship. And in the current season that he left, his team is one win away from competing for the national championship. And it'd be one thing if it was just – random coach X who said that. It would be funny. People would make fun of him for it, whatever. But the fact that it's Lane Kiffin and everything that comes with Lane Kiffin takes it to a whole other level. And it really, if there was one coach that was ever going to happen to, if Ole Miss pulls this off, it's Lane Kiffin. That would have to be a part of his story.
Yeah. Now, I got to get with you on this. I know you're an Ohio State fan, so maybe you laugh at this. Maybe you revel in this moment. But the SEC struggles. They're apparent. They're apparent, Colt. 4-9 in postseason play, and it was capped off. Last thing we saw was Indiana beating Alabama 38-3. And Alabama, a program that's used to just being able to will themselves to national championships year over year, never even deserved to be on the same field as Indiana. I never thought I'd be saying that in the year 2026, but here we are. When you see what has happened with the SEC, a seeming fall off, and really some growth from the top schools in the Big Ten. You got Oregon and Indiana. Ohio State won one last year. Michigan won the year before. What do you attribute it to? Like, what are you seeing with that seeming growing divide?
Well, I've never really been a big conference guy, even being an Ohio State
sure.
fan. That's never been my bag. But I can't take credit for this. I saw somebody put this out the other day where they were like, in this new era, all that car dealership money doesn't hold a candle
right.
to oil
to Mark Cuban money.
Millionaire money. Yeah, this is all unregulated. It's coming in from all these sources. It's not under the table. And maybe that's oversimplifying it. I don't think that's the only reason. I think, too, you go back to what we said. It's making smart hires, making smart evaluations. Anybody could have hired Kurt Cignetti a couple of cycles ago. I know when he got hired, it was like, okay, that's a nice hire. We'll see if he can turn Indiana around. If you look at, you know, whoever else would have hired him, I don't know if it would have been exactly the same in terms of like, oh, we'd be in the national championship or competing for it in 2 years. But you'd probably be on a similar type of trajectory of wins and success. I think that some of those hires, investment, they've played into it. And for the SEC, the playing field really has been leveled based off of the fact that not only are teams from these other conferences now securing some of that elite talent, but also in your own conference.
Yep.
You look at the team we just talked about, Ole Miss. Now they're not just a once in every 4 years. Oh, now they have, you know, Robert Kimbici, or back in the day when it was South Carolina. That makes me feel old saying back in the day, talking about Jadeveon Clowney, Alshon Jeffrey, and Marcus Lattimore, where it was like they had this like 2 or 3 year run where they had a chance. No, now a team like Ole Miss, if they have, you know, good backing, good support, good coaching, they can really...
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms. For more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Staying this for years to come. So I think to me, the top tier of the SEC has kind of lowered itself a little bit, and the middle class of the SEC has raised themselves
yep.
as well as some of those other powerhouses in the different conferences.
Well, the lower class in the SEC has raised itself up. Vandy is stealing five-star quarterback recruits
yeah.
from Georgia. You know what I mean? It's a different day. But yeah, like that's something. Like, I don't know the full why. And I think that coaching thing you brought up is a great point. David Cobb brought that up to me earlier this week. You know, when you look at the SEC's new hires, it's basically the American Conference Avengers. Ryan Silverfield, Alex Golish, and, John Sumrall. That's his name. But they basically got the American Conference Avengers. While the Big Ten has gotten Kyle Whittingham, unbelievable job he did at Utah over a long, long time, long period of time. Matt Campbell at Penn State. Bob Chesney, I think, is a really good hire at UCLA. So, like, you see the difference in hires, and I think that definitely comes into question. But when we talk about the what, not the why, the what, do you agree in the sense that it does feel like the consolidation of power outside of Indiana in the Big Ten when it comes to getting recruits and spending the money has stayed about the same? The Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Oregon's, they're still who they once were. Whereas in the SEC, it just feels like there's a lot more competition. The bottom half of the Big Ten just doesn't seem to be catching up at the same rate as the SEC. That's sort of what you were referring to a second ago.
Yeah, I mean, we can just call it what it is. The bottom part of the Big Ten is terrible. It's just an awful, awful watch. Week by week, you look at, you know, Purdue, and I still believe that Barry Odom can build them up. But Maryland, after they started, I think 3-0 or 4-0, they finished 4-8. Michigan State was terrible this year. Wisconsin was terrible. Rutgers, you know, they're just in a perpetual state of trying to compete with everybody with Greg Schiano. But then you look at the SEC, where, to your point, you have teams like Mississippi State, who they'll go out there and they'll at least compete with some of those top teams, and they'll scare them. Auburn sitting there at 5-7 with one of the nation's best defenses, but they can't score any points. And then Florida as well. So to me, as fun as it is to talk about how the SEC's kind of lost their step as the leader of the pack, when you look at team by team, to me there's still no questioning that, like, it's still the biggest dogfight of a conference among any of the power conferences by a long shot.
Yes, but that has also made it a lot tougher to be that undefeated champion, that dominant champion, that Georgia 2 years back-to-back, the Alabamas under Nick Saban. It's just become increasingly difficult for anybody to be able to recreate that going into the future. All right, now we have a game tomorrow and a game on Friday. Let's talk about these. I'm just going to leave the ball in your court, then I'll give you my opinion. But tomorrow night, 6:30, Fiesta Bowl, Miami versus Ole Miss, Miami 3.5-point favorites. Where do you think this game is going to be won, and what are you paying attention to the closest?
Just based off of maybe just the Ohio State game has colored my whole view on Miami, and I'm looking at it from a perspective I shouldn't be based off of one game. But it's two things for me on each side of the ball. One, can Ole Miss block Akeem Mesidor and Reuben Bain? Ohio State struggled with that mightily.
And A&M too, by the way. Let's not forget about that game.
And to Ole Miss's credit, they're a little more dynamic. I think they're much more dynamic offensively than both of those teams. And we saw what they did against Georgia last week. And I think Trinidad Chambliss and Ole Miss's staff, they're going to probably, I would hope that they have a better plan on how to attack Miami than Ohio State did. And they don't rely on a silent count because they're indoors and don't just let that Miami defensive line tee off on them. And on the other side of the ball, For Ole Miss, you know, their defense doesn't get a ton of credit, but we've seen what Pete Golding's been able to do with them. I think you make Carson Beck beat you over the top, which, again, Ohio State was kind of content to play off 10 to 15 yards, and Miami didn't try to do too much, and Carson Beck, to his credit, didn't try to do too much. They just kind of dinked and dunked their way down the field. They ran for, like, 4.5 yards per carry. They just kind of kept it moving. And I think Ole Miss, you want to create those havoc plays. You want to, if Carson Beck beats you at this point over the top, then kudos to him. We know what Malachi Toney can do, but I think Ole Miss really needs to force Miami's hand in a way that Ohio State didn't. And right now, I'm giving my edge to Ole Miss because I think that they'll have a much better game plan than Ohio State.
I have flip-flopped on this game. I'm on the Ole Miss side at this particular moment. Now, let me take you into my line of thinking. I know we've watched Akeem Mesidor and Reuben Bain and Keontae Scott, even with the pick six against Ohio State. That defense for Miami has ruined the game. Really, their pass rush in a lot of ways. Those are the guys you circle. I look at Ole Miss, and I think that they are a lot more equipped offensively to deal with that type of pass rush. And not necessarily because I think their O-line's great, but I think it's the way they run offense, right? Very RPO heavy. Ball can come out pretty quickly. You have a very movable quarterback. Now, I understand that they faced a movable quarterback, a guy who could really run previously. But also on top of that, when they take deep shots and sit back there in the pocket, it's usually off of play action. So with play action, your eyes and everything else gets played with if you're Akeem Mezidor and you're Reuben Bain. You're not necessarily able to just get downhill, get past the offensive tackle every single play on play action because you have to worry about the run. You have to account for the running back. There's a lot of different things that go into that. So that's what I'm thinking at this moment. I feel like Ole Miss's scheme can get around some of the things that Miami's defensive line does well. Tell me your thoughts.
I agree because I think that they're in maybe hopefully you know what I'm talking about when I say this. It feels like Ole Miss's offense is much less robotic than
yep.
Texas A&M's, where you have Chambliss who can just go out there, rip it, get the ball out quick, make plays, whereas Marcel Reed, we know what he can do dynamically, but it feels like a lot of A&M's offense, especially in that game, and Miami forced them into it a little bit, but it felt like they were just robotic and everything was long developing. The same thing happened with Ohio State,
right,
where they were taking these deep shot, long developing plays. No, Ole Miss can beat you over the top and they can do it quick. We saw it at the end of the Georgia game where Chambliss just drops back one-on-one coverage, hits the dude, they go down and they kick the field goal. That's what they do much better than Ohio State and Texas A&M's offense do.
Yeah, listen, he's the best off-script quarterback that Miami's dealt with in the playoff,
yeah.
And I don't think it's particularly close. Now, Oregon-Indiana, it's a rematch. It's in a neutral site as opposed to Autzen, and we know that Indiana went into Autzen and won by 10, even though Fernando Mendoza threw a pick six. So I'll just ask you straight up, Indiana's 3.5-point favorites. How do you feel about this game? It's hard for me. I think it's hard for everybody after having watched that Alabama-Indiana game, 38-3. It's hard for anybody to think that Indiana's going to stumble at this point.
Yes. And at the same time, I think we can take that game away and put the blinders off from what we saw there and just how magnificent it was. And we can look at Oregon's game against Texas Tech, and their defense played great.
They
shut them out. I think it's Brian Finney Jr., the corner. Other than Trinidad Chambliss, he was my MVP of that round of the playoffs. He was awesome in that game against Texas Tech. But Tech, if we want to talk about bad game plans and just looking like they didn't have it together, Tech really didn't look like they had it together offensively. And I think the way that Oregon's defense played in that game really overshadowed kind of how ugly their offense was and how for a period there it was like, are they going to put these guys away? They're dominating this game, but their offense was just getting beat up by Tech's front seven, specifically that defensive line. And I don't think Indiana has a David Bailey on their defensive line, but kind of the sum of all their parts on that front seven, I think can wreck them just as bad as Tech did. And again, we already saw that in Austin this season. And now you're looking at an Oregon offense who I think they're down their top, at least their top three running backs right now. Their running back room is really, really thin. And it doesn't feel like they have a ton of playmakers out there. You know, on paper, I look at this game and say, Oregon can absolutely win this game. They can keep it close. They can battle with them. It's a neutral site game. It's, you know, cliche. It's tough to beat a team twice
sure.
in one season, all of that stuff. But all the evidence kind of shows us that Indiana just feels like a better team right now. And I'm not going to overthink it and say that Indiana wins by 10.
Yep, for sure. Well, Colt, I'll let you roll, man. I appreciate it. Great stuff as always.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to these games.
Absolutely. He is Colton Denning, owner of Two Stripes CPD, and on YouTube at youtube.com/Colton Denning, on X at Dubsco. Now let's go ahead and send you out to Grizzlies versus the Suns. Grizzlies looking for their first back-to-back wins against 500 or better opponents since February of last year. So let's see if they can do that. We'll send you off to that next.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,